Remote school leaves cities and districts with a problem: how to get internet to everyone. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. In the rush to get families online in time for distance learning, it's Wi-Fi hotspots to the rescue. In the Ozarks, they're parking school buses equipped with Wi-Fi routers for kids to use while sitting in the parking lot. Chicago is spending millions to give hotspots to individual families and connect homes to broadband. School districts all over the country are handing out hotspots as fast as they can get them. So is this sustainable? And will there be any going back from Wi-Fi for All? Christopher Mitchell is the director of the Community Broadband Networks Initiative at the nonprofit Institute for Local Self-Reliance.
It's interesting because I was just looking at an argument in a city council in which they were arguing, well, we're going to install these hotspots. Should we take them down at some point? Do we want to say we're only going to do it for 2 years? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they decided that they should leave them up indefinitely. And I feel like at this point, it's hard to imagine where it'll be acceptable policy to not have kids have home internet access. And some people would say, yeah, libraries and McDonald's will pick up the slack. But I don't think we're going to go back from that.
What about the money? Like, we know that, you know, city and state revenues are taking a huge hit as a result of the pandemic, and that almost always results in cuts to education budgets. Like, how does this trickle down when schools are in that position, districts are in that position to have to spend tens of millions of dollars on infrastructure?
Well, some of this is definitely coming out of the CARES Act, which was federal legislation that put money toward different activities that would benefit people who have been harmed by COVID-19 or trying to just blunt the impact. So a lot of the money that we've seen going into these different investments has been from that. And I don't know where the next tranche of money is going to come from. A lot of us feel like the federal government has not been doing its part.
If schools hadn't gone remote, do you think we would have seen this push for expanded access?
I think we would have over time. I think it accelerated things. I mean, what the pandemic has done to telehealth, it's so accelerated everything. And I think we could say the same thing for schools. Some of these schools already had these plans because this was an issue. I mean, there's school districts in which half of the kids did not have home internet access. And before that meant that they couldn't do school during the day. It meant that they could not do it at night. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal when some kids can't do their homework. It's led to significant racial inequity, where you certainly have kids that tend to be more people of color who'd have less home internet access. And so then they have less opportunity to learn. And so this was a big deal already, but it just became intolerable when you couldn't do any schoolwork rather than just not being able to do your homework.
Christopher Mitchell is with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. We'll be covering school and tech on Mondays for at least the next few weeks. Send us your stories to mptech@marketplace.org. And now for some related links. Just go to like Google News and type in online school hotspots, and you will immediately get a sense of what a huge, distributed, parallel effort this is across the country right now. There's a story in the Dallas News about hotspots bridging the digital divide. I did not know that Dallas ranks among the worst connected for cities of its size. The city and its school districts are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to get hotspots to people. In North Carolina, the United Way is fundraising for hotspots. In San Jose, California, the city is spending over $8 million and partnering with AT&T to get 11,000 hotspots out the door. And for rural school districts, apparently it's just their job. And when it comes to parking lot hotspots, like the kind we mentioned, the buses with the Wi-Fi routers inside, that's potentially not going to be a good solution once winter comes. What we really need is more broadband infrastructure. Back in May, Democrats in the House of Representatives passed a second coronavirus relief bill that does include funding for more broadband investment, particularly rural broadband. That bill has gone nowhere in the GOP-controlled Senate. And I also went to Google News and typed in Congress stimulus bill, and it doesn't seem like a lot is happening there either. But you know, from sea to shining sea, schools and cities and people and parents and teachers and even companies are trying to get it done. So good job, everyone. Keep at it. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.